Today on the Well One Connection, we are re-airing a previous show from last March with Dr. Sai explaining the importance of colonoscopy in beating colorectal cancer. The Huron Regional Medical Center is extending their program through December 31st, which encourages the community to go blue, get screened to win. To raise awareness of and early detection of colorectal cancer, the effort began in March but was put on hold due to the pandemic. This promotion invites area residents to make the call and schedule a colonoscopy for a chance to win either an entertainment package valued at up to $150 or dinner for two valued up to $50. For more information about the Go Blue program, visit www.huronregional.org/goblue.
You're listening to the Well One Connection, connecting you to important healthcare information. The Well One Connection is a weekly program of Huron Regional Medical Center. Huron Regional Medical Center, providing quality health care close to home. Online at huronregional.org.
We have with us Dr. Sai Hotfoot, who is a general surgeon who practices here at HRMC and also Cheddar and Home Clinic. And the topic today is colorectal cancer awareness. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And thank you for being willing to share your knowledge. And so let's first just start with defining what is colorectal cancer.
Colorectal cancer is a cancer that arises either in some part of the colon or rectum. We use colorectal because you could just describe it all as colon cancer, but the treatment is a little bit different between those cancers that arise in the rectum and those that arise in the colon. Colorectal cancer is very common. It's probably number two or three on the list for both men and women. And we know that most cancers in the colon arise from pre-existing polyps. Polyps are little areas in the lining of the colon. And it's important to remember that the lining of the colon is the same from just up inside the rectum all the way around to the where the small intestine enters the colon. So it's all at risk. And these polyps represent places where the lining mutates. We actually replace the inside lining of the colon and the small bowel probably every 5 to 7 days. And so that rapidly dividing tissue is fertile ground for mutations to occur. And once a mutation occurs, the abnormal growth that results from that eventually becomes visible as a polyp. And over time, the polyps get bigger. And not only do they get bigger, but the abnormal growth pattern becomes more and more abnormal, until eventually it becomes malignant.
And sitting here, I would not know if I have polyps growing in my colon.
No, polyps do not cause any symptoms until they become large enough and abnormal enough that they turn malignant. The early warning signs like blood in the stool or change in the bowel habits or narrowed stools or pain, those are pretty late findings in the age of a polyp, really. Most of us with polyps don't know that we have them. They don't give us any warning signs or anything. The best way to identify polyps is to go looking for them, and you have to look for them.
With a colonoscopy. So guidelines now state that men and women age 45 and older with a normal average risk for colon cancer should be screened. So let's talk about the different types of screenings and then why colonoscopy is, like you've alluded to, the best, because that's how we find the polyps.
So screening, first and foremost, means looking for a particular thing, disease or what have you, in people who aren't having any problems, okay? When we talk about screening, we're really talking about folks who just, they feel good, they're healthy, but we're looking to try to head something off at the pass. And that's especially true with colorectal cancer. And probably one thing that we should emphasize is that colon cancer/rectal cancer is probably one of the only cancers that we deal with where our programs can actually prevent cancer. All of the other early detection schemes are out there to try to find cancers early. Colon cancer, our whole push is to try to prevent it. And we do that by looking for polyps. Now, there are lots of different ways that people can be screened, from some really simple things like occult stool tests, which test for blood in the stool. Those are usually done every year, and you can have them done in the physician's office or take a small stool sample in and they can do it for you. The advantages of it are that they're relatively cheap. You can find them just about anywhere. They're painless, but they're also not very specific. In other words, they can't tell you whether it's a polyp that's causing this or not. They can only tell you if there's a little blood in the stool. And that can come from lots of different things. So it has a fair number of what, at least if you think in terms of polyps and colon cancer, a lot of false positives. But it's the convenience of it is what attracts most people to it. There are some other stool tests that are a little bit more exact, and they're called fecal immunohistochemical tests, and they don't have quite as many false positives. And they're easy and convenient and all that kind of stuff. Barium enemas can be used alone. Barium enema is a good test. You still need to get cleaned out. And you might see things, and you can't always tell what those things are that you're seeing. Are shadows? Is it stool? So
you're still doing some sort of scan with that?
Yes.
Is that fluoroscopy?
You're looking at the... Pardon?
Do we do an x-ray on that, or fluoroscopy?
Yes. Well, it's done with a combination of fluoroscopy and x-rays, yeah. It's a very good test, and occasionally we still use it. It's kind of fallen out of favor because the colonoscopy has become so much more widely available. There are some people who can't tolerate a colonoscopy or in whom it can't be accomplished, and so the barium enema is still the go-to backup for folks like that. More recently, and I'm sure nearly everybody's seen this on television, is the Cologuard test, the little green dancing man, I think. Is he green or blue?
He's blue.
Is he blue?
He's in a box.
Little blue box guy. Which is reportedly supposed to be a pretty good test. And it is a pretty decent test. But it does have a fair number of false positives, which suggests to people that they may have something. Now, the Cologuard, that stool test, actually tests for abnormal DNA. And on the thinking that if you're growing polyps, remember we talked about those being abnormal growths. So if you have these abnormal growths, you're shedding some abnormal DNA into your stool all the time. And if you detect that abnormal DNA, guess what? Then you should go to colonoscopy. So it's a pretty good test. It's able to detect things with a sensitivity that's pretty good, which means if there's something there, it'll find it. And I think the current sensitivities probably range somewhere 92%. The problem with it is all the false positives that we've seen, which isn't necessarily a horrible thing because that just spurs you on to colonoscopy. And colonoscopy is the gold standard that we pretty much measure everything else against now. Because colonoscopy is the only, apart from flexible sigmoidoscopy, colonoscopy is the only test that offers you the benefit of looking at things and being able, for the most part, to be able to do something about them at the time you look at them.
And it gets such a bad rap because of the prep, I think, and then just the idea.
It's not the most pleasant thing in the world to have done. The prep is not the most pleasant thing to have done. But neither of them are insurmountable.
If it can prevent cancer.
And it can absolutely prevent cancer, which nothing else can do. It's an incredibly useful test that I think saves lots of lives. If you can identify somebody at age 45 or 50 who is growing polyps in their colon, and recommend to them that they have this procedure done every so often after that and continue to take polyps out, you are taking polyps out that could potentially go on to become cancerous and shorten their lives.
So the prep has changed too. So you probably remember when the prep was the gallons of and the...
Yeah, well, early on, the preps were even worse. They were enemas and clear liquids and all kinds of cathartics, that, you know, mag citrate and that kind of thing. And then they became simplified into a one-gallon preparation of an electrolyte solution that most people found very difficult to get down, because you were supposed to drink it all within a certain time frame, and it was a lot of volume. It was tough to do. But the preps have been modified down through the years, and we currently use a prep that's based on Gatorade and Miralax. It's about a half gallon, but you can choose any of the flavors of Gatorade or Powerade that you like and mix it with the Miralax, and it's pretty easy to get down, even in the relatively short period of time. And it still does the job.
If you start with reducing the amount that you eat and start clearing your colon naturally before you do the prep, then it's even easier, right?
And that's why we generally recommend about 24 hours ahead of time that you have nothing but clear liquids. And then you usually take the prep the evening before. It will induce diarrhea, and it'll clean you out, and then you're ready for the colonoscopy.
And then you have some very good aids to help people as they are laying on the table for you to do your work.
Yes. We use a team of usually two technicians and a nurse. We give you intravenous sedative, usually. Not enough necessarily to render you unconscious, but enough to relax you and sedate you and get us through the crampy spots of colonoscopy. Probably 98% of people do very well with just that.
And most people don't even remember.
No, because oftentimes the medications that we use for the sedation cause amnesia. And you know, what we don't remember doesn't tend to bother us very much.
So what do you say to people who are objecting to colonoscopy? What is your biggest selling point?
My biggest selling point is that it's a relatively short procedure that offers us, and by virtue of us, offers them the ability to know where they stand in terms of risk for colon cancer and to be able to do something about it. That doesn't necessarily involve a major lifestyle change or anything like that. By having colonoscopies at 3 to 5 year intervals, if you grow polyps and you have colonoscopies at every 3 to 5 year intervals, you should be able to prevent colon cancer.
And if you don't find polyps, the frequency is even less.
Yes, every 10 years are the current recommendations, you know, and keeping in mind that, you know, if in that 10-year interval something were to happen or seem amiss, especially as might regard your colon, you might get a colonoscopy sooner than that. But in terms of screening purposes, and remember, that's looking around in people who aren't having any trouble. If you don't have polyps and you don't have a family history of colon cancer, every 10 years. Yeah.
So you mentioned family history. So is it just direct, like my mom and dad or my siblings, or are we looking farther out on the family tree?
We usually look at first-degree relatives. And it's important to remember that most of the colon cancers that we see are not related to families. Most of them are what we call sporadic cancers. So just because your parents and brothers and sisters didn't have a colon cancer doesn't mean that you're not at risk. Everybody should be screened. The more first-degree relatives that you have, the greater your chances are for getting a colon cancer.
So after the test, the scope is done, then you do a little recovery, and most of the time you probably take the day off. the day after the screening?
Most people do. Because of the intravenous sedative, we usually advise people to, plan on taking it a little bit easy that day. They shouldn't drive afterwards or make any real important decisions. But by and large, the sedatives are usually worn off pretty well within just a few hours afterwards. And most people feel pretty normal by later in the same day.
And then we test any polyps that we find, and within a couple days we know.
Generally send in all the polyps that we take off to have them looked at under the microscope by the pathologist. And they tell us what kind of polyp that is. And in some situations, they'll tell us how abnormal the growth pattern looks. Because sometimes if you've got a polyp that's a little bit larger and perhaps with some advanced abnormality to it, then you might have to have your next colonoscopy a little bit sooner than this one. But remember that all of the adenomatous types of polyps that we look for, adenomatous polyps are the type that can go on to become cancerous. So all of those, by definition, have at least mild abnormal growth to them. But the pathologists will look for moderate abnormal growth or severe abnormal growth, because the next thing just beyond severe abnormal growth is cancer. So that degree of abnormal growth can make a difference too. I usually tell people that if you have a polyp and you have moderate or severely abnormal growth, we're going to do your next colonoscopy earlier to stay ahead of that. It's a really important test that is as with many things that we fret about, we worry more about it than we should. It's not intolerable. It's really not even all that uncomfortable. And the benefit to be had on the outside is tremendous. You can find polyps, have them dealt with, and prevent colon cancer all in the same fell swoop. And everybody should take advantage of the opportunity to have a screening colonoscopy.
You've been listening to the Well One Connection, connecting you to important healthcare information. This program is for general use only and is not meant to replace the advice of your doctor or other medical professional. If you have questions, contact your healthcare provider. The Well One Connection is a weekly program of Huron Regional Medical Center, providing quality healthcare close to home. Online at HuronRegional.org.